Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know, my legs are still sore. I mean, I don't know what I did Friday night, but I must have been boogieing, man. I don't know. I mean, all day yesterday, I was telling the folks this morning, I was vacuuming like this. I was sore, man. Hallelujah. Just had a wonderful time in the Lord. How many of you were here Friday night, man? Did you guys sense the freedom? Did you sense the freedom that was in the house? Man, God is breaking things for us. Amen. Pat's got a word that he likes to use. It's called crack. And that's what I meant. God's cracking something open here in Green Valley, Sahurita, all this whole area. How many claim this city for us? For the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I mean, God is just doing, I know He's doing something. Even though we can't see it, there are visible things that God is working. And you know, how many of you know that when we first got in this building, that Dairy Queen, that Shell station was closed down? It was a young man who actually played guitar with us, Tommy. He was telling me, he goes, you know, you're actually in the poor part of Sahurita. What do you mean poor part? What are you talking about, man? You're actually in the slum, Henry. Praise God. Can I tell you, it's not no slum no more. Amen. Hallelujah. You know why? Because the source has moved into town. Hallelujah. And you know, I know there's a lot of other churches in here, but God, I don't know. I even ask God, why do you need another church? It's just, you know, hey. I'm going to tell you, folks, God has said something to me. He says, because you will tell people what I'm asking you to tell them. I learned that a long time ago, that I've got to be saying what He's saying to me. Whether folks will agree with it or not, God told Jeremiah, don't worry about their faces. Everybody's cute. Y'all are cute in the house. And, you know, yeah, don't worry about your face. But God said, don't worry about their faces, because sometimes people look at you kind of like, man, are you cracked? Are you weird? And I say, yeah, I'm cracked and I'm weird, but I know that God has given me a message. And the message is that we are to obtain, reclaim the things that God on this earth for the kingdom of God's sake. And I'm not going to let this city go down. How many know that? How many know we can't let this city go down? Well, this city is a city that's a light on a hill. It's hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for anybody to move around in this city without getting the gospel somewhere on the street corner. Is that cool? I believe it. I believe it's going to happen in a lot of churches. I believe there is a water shed that's coming towards us. We just got no idea when it's going to get here, but it's coming. It's coming. God's going to do some great things in this city. Hallelujah. I believe people will be coming here and other churches because they've heard, hey, man, we've heard. We don't believe in God, I guess, but I hear people are getting healed in your church. Yeah. I believe blind eyes are opening and you know, walkers are being stacked up by the door because people don't need them anymore. Is that cool? I believe it, man. I just believe it. I believe when you walk in, you walk out different. I believe that's going to happen today. As you walk in, God's going to give you something. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive from the Lord? Not Henry's teaching this morning, what God has for you. Because a lot of times, all it takes to hear from God is just a couple of words, and it can change every perspective you have in your life. Do you know that? All it takes is just a little bit. So I'm going to ask you just to lean in today a little bit. You know what I mean by lean in? Adjust your thinking and just kind of just start listening with, say, Lord, give me something today. God gives gold. He gives silver. And you know what? It comes in rubies. How many of you guys like rubies, diamonds? How many of you guys want diamonds? I'm going to say, it shows up in His Word in the kingdom of God. That's what it looks like. Valuable stuff. So be listening this morning. Lean in a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. Lean in. Read along with the scriptures and just participate in what's going on in the house this morning and see if God just doesn't begin to flood you with something. Isn't that cool? That's what I'm asking for. That's what pastors, Pastor John and Pastor Pat, that's what we've been praying for, that God will just begin to flood every heart. Hallelujah. How many know it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord? How many know that? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is the most important thing in the world today? Do you know that? Your connection with Him is absolutely essential. It's essential to who you are and what God is doing in the earth. How many of you are tired of just seeing man's ideas running all over the place? I'm tired of that, man. I'm ready to see what God wants to do. I'm ready to be led by the Spirit. How many like being led by the Spirit? Come on, man. I'm talking to you now. You got to be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you watch what happens. Get up in the morning with a simple prayer. Lord, let me live in your will today. Allow me to live in your will. Yeah, at my job. Yeah, when I'm under the car. Yeah, just let me live in your will and watch what God does. Watch the people that begin to come towards you because of who you are. Is that cool? Because God is touching the world. He's after the world. He is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's after this world. He's using us as his hands and his feet, his instruments, to touch this world. That's why I get so excited with Pastor George coming. I'll tell you what. When we decided, man, when we decided to give a tithe off of our income to that young man, he's not a big name. He's a guy that started out going on the streets in San Diego and just talking to people about Jesus. And the Lord told him, write a book. Write a book about discipleship. Write a book about leadership. So he began writing these books. Didn't know, had no idea what he was doing. Folks, it's the same thing he wants to do with some of you today. He wants you to start doing what he wants you to do, and you watch where it takes you. That little bit of book writing took him all the way to Africa. And now his book is being translated, and he's going to tell you all about it, man. I don't want to, but I'll tell you what, those books that you saw there in that thing, oh, come on, man. That came from a gift that we gave. And I tell you what, I'm so excited. There was a lady here Friday night that her orphanage in Africa, we give to them. Folks, this church, we are touching the world. We are. We really are. And it's important. And I believe that's why God is saying, I'm gonna open things up for you. I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna pay for your building. Okay. Sounds good, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And yet, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, you're after the things of... No, man, we need a place to meet. We need a place to preach the gospel, to teach our young. Is that right? To instruct, to lead, to build up, and then push, get out of the nest and go do it. Man, come on, man. Hallelujah. God told me, do not corral my people. When they're ready to go, I'll call them out and let them go. Don't hold them. I've got things for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Hallelujah. I probably ought to get to my message. Food's going to get cold. Cake's going to get old. Nothing like cold food and old cake. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. So if you will, open your Bibles, and I'll tell you where in a minute. 1 Kings chapter 13. I love this story about this guy. Pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you'd give free course into each and every one of our hearts, Lord. That there be nothing obstructing or distracting to us, Lord, that we would hear what you desire for us to hear, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus gave his life for us so that we can enjoy the things of the kingdom. We thank you for that, Lord. We honor you for that, Lord. We honor you. So, Lord, we come expecting. We come expecting to hear from you this morning, Lord. Father, open my lips that I might open the scriptures and make what you are trying to say absolutely clear to your people, Father, and myself. We thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The title of the message this morning is You Are Invited. You might change the words on your bulletin a little bit. It's I'm not sure what the bulletin says. What does it say? Are you invited? Well, I'm going to answer that. Yes, you are. You're invited. You are invited. Hallelujah. God wants you to know that he wants you in his presence. You're invited to meet with him at any time. Do you know that? Any time of the day, no matter where you're at. Sometimes, well, I only pray in my car. Well, okay, well. He's talking to, he's saying, you are invited every day, all day, whenever you can, come into the presence, come into my presence, spend time with me, and you watch what happens, okay? That's the title of the message. And because God has very specific things to say to you. Do you know that? God will never say things to you that will be contrary to who he is or who the body of Christ is. Do you know that? Sometimes we have such a problem in the bodies of Christ. I mean, and well, this church over here believes that. Well, that church over there believes that. Well, that church over there. Can I tell you? The problem is nobody's listening to the Holy Ghost sometimes. Is that right? If you listen to the Holy Spirit will blend this thing. It's a crazy thing. And I believe that's what God's doing in this time. I've asked God, why, God, why you got me speaking? I'm nobody compared. I listen to some of these preachers that are out there. They're good guys out there. How many know that? There's a lot of good preachers out there. A lot of them. And I said, man, who am I doing in this bunch? Man. If people will begin to speak what the Holy Spirit is saying in their lives, I'm going to tell you what, man, things are going to change very quickly. The body of Christ needs to speak what you know. You're not required. Listen, Jesus told Nicodemus, we do speak what we know. You're not required to speak on things that you don't know about. You're not required for that. Because God hasn't trained you in that yet. Stay in the Word and He will. You're only required. The only thing God wants you to know is just speak what you know. Just tell people. Jesus died on a cross for you, man. Just speak what you know. That's all He's asking. It's not hard. How many know it's not hard? This is a beautiful thing, man. God says, I will lead you, guide you. He knows what's in your heart. He will use you. And I've got to get to my message. Praise God. Hallelujah. Old cake. Everybody say, old cake. Old cake. All right. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 13 says this. Starting at verse 1, it says, and behold, there came a man of God out from Judah by the word of the Lord to Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Jeroboam was a king that had set up his own altar. He was he had left Jerusalem and in order to hold the people, to keep them from going to Jerusalem, he set up his own altar. And he began to sacrifice on them. And he set up his own priests that weren't even Levites. And just doing everything wrong. Is that right? I mean, you know that God's got an order about things. And so he's doing things wrong. And here comes this prophet, a man of God. Verse 2 says, and he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, O altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee he shall offer them the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee. And men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be torn, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it back again to him. The altar also was torn, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. Isn't that something? How the man of God would, the king would say, hey, get him. Because he prophesied against his altar. Get him. And when he stretched out his hand, it dried up the muscles. And now it's a whole different story. Amen? How do you know that? When something's going wrong, sometimes, can I tell you, when things go wrong in people's lives, sometimes they're looking for somebody that will you entreat God for me? And folks, that's who we are. We are called to be praying for folks. Is that right? We are priests. Not only are you a priest, you're a king. And man, that's a whole different story. You're a king and you're a priest. Kings make declarations. Priests pray. Bring people close to God. Entreat. And he says, pray for me that my hand be restored. And he did. And guess what? God restored his hand. Surely Jeroboam should have known something was going on. And the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give you a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if you will give me half your house, I will not go in with you, neither will I eat bread or drink water in this place. Listen to what this guy is saying. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that you came. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. This prophet, this man had specific instructions by God. He says, look, I want you to go over there, prophesy against that altar. And the way that you came, don't go back. Don't go that way. Just keep going forward. Can I tell you, folks, that God has called us to move forward, not backwards? How many know that? God is always saying to you, just move forward. Some of you are stuck in reverse. How many of you have ever been stuck in reverse in a car? Oh, man. What's wrong with my car? It keeps going backwards. And a lot of folks are getting stuck in reverse because they won't let things go. You'll keep dragging up something that happened to you, somebody that hurt you, some event that you know that you got mad at God about because he never answered you. But you keep going in reverse, and God is saying, stop going in reverse. Start moving forward. Keep moving forward. This has been a word that's been coming to me in the last few months that people in this congregation have said to you, Henry, you got to keep moving forward. Keep going forward. Yeah, when it was getting real, oh, God, what am I doing, man? God, come on. You know, God, get out, help me. You at least say something to calm me down. And, you know, somebody will say, you got to keep moving forward. Well, I'm trying to. This is, oh, man, I don't know. Sometimes you just might not understand it till you're there. You might, isn't that right, Pastor John? You can't get it until you... If you get in that position, then I got 300 eyeballs looking at me and expecting me to do something. And come on, man. But you get these I said, Lord, I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. But then somebody comes along and says, Henry, you just need to keep going forward. Quit looking behind you. Keep going forward. I said, yeah, that's good. And that was what the Lord told this man. When you go in, don't go backwards. Just keep going the same way you came in. Just keep going out. And don't eat anything and don't drink anything in that country the whole time that you're there. How many know it's important to listen to what the Lord is saying to you? You got to get down. If God says something to you, I mean, sometimes it might come in while you're reading your scripture and you read your little daily readings and something comes to your heart. It's important that you maybe write it down and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I feel, Lord, this is what you're saying to me. So hold those things, grab a hold of them and just hold on to them. Don't let them go because he is speaking to you. He's saying things to you. Hallelujah. So he went out another way. He went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet. Everybody say old prophet. Old prophet. Yeah, hallelujah. We're not talking about me. Just an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. And the words which he had spoken to the king, they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the donkey. So they saddled the donkey, and he rode thereon, and he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said unto him, are you the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. What do you think the man of God should say? I can't. God told me no. Verse 16, he says, and he said, I may not return with you, nor go with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. Good answer. How many say, hey, good answer. Amen. Come on, bro. That's right. Verse 17 says, for it was said to me that by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that you came. And he said unto him, I'm a prophet also as you are. Come on. I mean, this is crazy. This is where it gets a little crazy because this prophet begins to prophesy to him or begins to tell him things. Look, I'm a prophet just like you are. Okay. Do you know the man of God had a word from the Lord, didn't he? He said, don't go backwards. And do not eat or drink in that land. Period. prophesy to the altar and get out. Oh, man. And he said to him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. Listen to that. Was he a man of God? Well, maybe. He said he was a prophet. He loved the Lord. Was he a man of God? Do men of God do things wrong sometimes? Yeah, come on, man. This guy wanted to feed him. He wanted to bring him to his house. I don't know what he wanted to do. He wanted to ask him about the Lord or whatever, but he wanted him in his house. So he lied to him. Is that all right? That's not all right. You know, we would say, man, who is this guy, man? But, you know, sometimes people do things. Is that right? Sometimes you go, man, why would you do that? He lied to him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back. Now this guy that lied to him, the word comes to him and he begins to prophesy to that man that went in to prophesy to the altar. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as you have disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but came back and has eaten bread and drunk water in the place of that which the Lord did say to you, eat no bread, drink no water, your carcass, your body, shall not come home to the sepulcher of your fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, he saddled for him the donkey, to wit, that prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the donkey stood by it. And the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the old prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it's the man of God. Who was disobedient, oh man, to the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord has delivered him into the lion and has torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to him. And he spoke to his son, saying, saddle me the donkey. And they saddled him, and he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the donkey and the lion standing by the carcass. And the lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the donkey and brought it back. The old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. What a story. Isn't that crazy? It is amazing how sometimes someone will say something to you, and you know it's not correct, and yet maybe you might do it. Can I say something? We need to be careful with that. Can I say that to you? Know this. When God tells you to do something, when he tells you something, when you see something specific in the Word of God, I want to tell you, you need to obey it. You need to stick with it. Is that okay? And don't let anybody take you off course. Folks, we are living in a day today, and I got a little bit of a sense of what God is trying to say to his people this morning. We're living in a day today, there's a lot of voices out there, mine included. You personally, you need to take everything you hear and take it before the Lord and say, is this what you have for me? I was prophesied too that I was going to move to California and I was going to live in Los Angeles. Is that right, Rosie? Was it Los Angeles? Los Angeles. My son was living there at the time, so I go, yeah, that's cool, man. Went before the Lord and left. Said, no, that wasn't me. So folks, what I'm saying to you this morning is, as a man and woman of God, you need to find out what God has for you personally. Amen. This is what the Word of God calls growing up in the kingdom of God. That you know what God has for you. I don't have to tell you, Brother Tim, Brother Pastor Pat, Pastor John doesn't have to tell you what God has for you. But you know why? Because you already know what he has for you. This is what God's called me to do. Huh. When God asked me to have my daughter do the music, I said, no way. No way. Because I know sometimes people can be mean. I mean, can be mean to the musicians. And I said, Lord, no. But he said, I've called her for that. You can't tell me no. I said, okay, okay. But every person, everybody in here, that's why we say in this house, we need to be independently dependent on God. That's why you need to know who God is in your life and what he's saying to you. Not riding along somebody's skirt. I'm not riding along on, well, my grandpa was a pastor, my dad was a pastor, so I'm a pastor. Not riding along that way. He's just finding out what God has for you personally. That's it. When you know what he's got for you, it builds a confidence in you that I'm glad I can say that today, because when I first started, my confidence was really low about what I can do in this house. But God, little by little, has strengthened me and strengthened me and saying, can you see, Henry, do you know that I've called you for this? Do you know that your calling is upon you? And I go, well, I couldn't see why, but I can see why. But the fact of the matter is, I know what God's called me to do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be up here talking to you. Absolutely not. Sometimes we have things that we think we want to do, and God says, that's not what I have for you, though. Because his ways are what? Higher than our ways. Our ways are lower than his ways. His thoughts, higher. Our thoughts, lower. But then he says this, humble yourself. Good word. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And then he says, I'll lift you up. When you humble yourself, you're lowering yourself. Say, Lord, I'm humbling myself. Lord, I don't know what to do. And that's when he grabs you and he picks you up and he says, man, I'll show you what to do. I'll show you my way. And you're going to find that it's the way you were looking for the whole time. Do you know that his way is the way that you have been searching for? It really is. It's what he has for you. It's what he wants for your life in this home. So I would say to you this morning, be very diligent to test the Spirit. Try the Word. Make sure it's what God has for you. 30 people can prophesy to you. And they can be all sorts of different places, directions, and everything. But the Word of God tells us to go to the Word. Let two or three witnesses be established in your life. And then you'll know what God has for you. You'll know it. You'll know. He'll place it in you. It's important in today's world. We've got so many things going on, so many voices, so many distractions, so many movements that it's hard to understand. It's like, God, what do you want? We look over here, I want to do that. We look over there, I want to do that. But God says, no, I've got something else for you. God has a place for you. He really does. And he's got a direction that he's moving you to. Listen to him. Listen to him. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Stay in the Word. Stay in God. Say, Lord, show me. Show me. Show me. I want to know. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that in this story I just read to you, it mentioned that the guy got killed by the lion. It said that he was a man of God. It said it 15 times in the story. If you get a chance, go back and look at it. Don't look at it now. Just go back. But it said it 15 times that the man of God this, the man of God that, man. Why did God choose to leave his name out? I don't know. Because in other stories where was a man of God like Elijah, and Elijah did this, and Elijah did that, and Elijah did this. But in this one, it's, and the man of God, and the man of God. Why God chose to leave his name out, I don't know. Maybe so that we wouldn't ask him about it. Hallelujah. Hey, dude, what's wrong with you, man? How come you ate and couldn't you take control of your body just for a little while? Man, get out of town and don't eat. How hard is that? Yeah, well, who knows? How many know there's an importance in a name? His name's not mentioned in there, but you know how many your name is important, is that right? But it's not important. It's not so important that you need to be elevating yourself so that everybody will know your name. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? I will tell you something. Your name is not that important until you get into Christ. And when Jesus is your king, now all of a sudden your name gets something. The Bible talks about he's going to give us a new name. But there's only one name that's important right now to the body of Christ. What's his name?
Jesus,
man. Yeah. I was remember my brother was in the hospital, and he was they were looking at him, and my niece and I were down there at the hospital in the emergency room, and my brother was in the room, and they were going to take an X-ray of him, and he's a pretty big fella, so they asked, hey, why don't you guys go out in the back, go out and wait in the lobby. So we're sitting in the lobby, and in comes this young couple, and they got this little boy that's screaming at the top of his, I mean it's loud, I mean just really loud, and I'm looking at him, and the wife, the young couple, the wife goes over to the nurse's station, and the dad sits down with the little boy, and he's screaming. And I'm just looking, and all of a sudden I looked, and I saw tears coming down the dad's eyes. I'm looking, I think I'm mad. I told my niece, I said, Bernadette, look at the dad. He's crying, doesn't know what to do. How many of you been there? You guys ever been in a situation, I got no idea what to do. I want to help you, but I don't know what to do. And that's what this dad was experiencing, man. And all of a sudden this compassion filled my heart, and I'm like, oh, yeah, man, you know, and they called us back in the room at the time, and came back out and went outside to call my wife to let her know, hey, how my brother was. And I'm standing outside, and while I'm standing outside, that young man was walking back into the hospital. He had gone out to his car for something, and I looked at him, and I go, hey, come here, man. He goes, yeah. I go, and see, folks, let me just say this. I got to tell you this, because I was in a three-day fast with the church I was in. We were having a three-day fast, so I'm fasting. And can I tell you, my fasting gets me geared up. And I don't know about you guys, but I get geared up with fasting. And so this kid's coming by, and I go, hey, man. And he goes, what's wrong with your little boy? And he goes, well, he's got a problem with this, with the tube in his body that for him to pee. Is that okay? Can I say pee in this? Can I say pee in here? Can I say pee in there? I said it just that three times. Yeah. No, you can't. Yeah. Well, he said, but this is what the dad said. He said, there's something wrong with this tube. It's too long, so it pinches. So he's got to have a catheter all the time. And it's a little boy, man. And he goes, we're from Phoenix. And he says, my wife, we saw the hospital sign, so we decided to come over here. They were visiting their friends. He goes, somehow, one way or another, while he was playing, he might have pulled that tube up, and so it pinched it off, and now he has to go to the restroom, and he can't. So I said, okay, well, let's pray. Okay. So I go, what's your name? He goes, my name is, I wrote down his name. Angel, yeah. His little boy's name was Angel, too. He goes, my name's Angel. I said, okay. I said, well, let's pray. So I prayed over him. I prayed that God would touch the boy. He went in. I went in. And when I went in, I sat down. And there's this guy that's got sunglasses on and his hat on backwards the way I wear my hat. He's looking at me, kind of giving me a weird stare. And I go, hey, man, what's up, man? Got up and went back in to see my brother again. Came back out. And went outside to call my sister this time. Went outside of the hospital. I was talking to my sister on the phone, and while I'm talking on the phone, I can hear these footsteps running, and this girl jumps on my back. I didn't know her. That's a weird feeling. It's kind of odd. It's kind of uncomfortable, and also, it's just weird. And she jumps on my back, and she's squeezing me around the neck, and she's crying. I go, hey, what's going on? What's going on? You know, finally got her off, and she tells me, she goes, my husband tells me you prayed for my son. I said, yeah, I did. She goes, well, when he got in there, he told me, hey, some old guy out there just prayed for me. Prayed for Angel. I said, thanks a lot. I said, he said, when I got in there, the nurse, We say, hey, what I'm going to do, told them what I'm going to do, I'm going to pull the catheter out, and then we'll just put another one in there. He goes, okay, that's, thank you. He says, when they pulled down his pants, they pulled the catheter out, and I mean, it was a sprinkler system going on in there. And they grabbed some towels and covered him and said, I thought he wasn't saying, and mom and dad are saying, he's not supposed to do that. That's not supposed to happen. Yeah, crazy God. He goes, well, what do you want me to do? Should we put the catheter back in? I go, well, no. They said, well, let us call our doctor. So they call their doctor. And the doctor tell them, it's not supposed to happen. That shouldn't have happened. He said, well, it did. What do you want us to do? And should we put the catheter? He goes, no. Well, did he empty his bladder? He said, yeah. Well, no, don't put it back in there. And then bring him and we'll see him tomorrow. Pretty cool. So she said, I can't believe it. I believe that prayer touched my son. I said, it did. It really did. That's the Lord. Do you know the Lord? No, don't know him. And she goes, let me tell you a story. She goes, last few weeks, he goes, my husband and I, we've been doing cocaine. I said, really? She goes, and a while back, I was putting little Angel in his bed, in his crib, and the Lord, she didn't say the Lord, she says, and I heard a voice, and it said, stop doing drugs. She said, I looked around, I thought, where'd that? And she said, she heard it, and she told Angel about it, he says, you're flipping out. She went out into her car the next morning. She worked at the Greyhound station in Phoenix. She went in the car, sat down, turned the car on, and there was this radio station called K-Love on the radio station. Her and her husband doesn't know to look for that. Can you imagine some angel going around town? K-Love, right there, yeah? Next car, K-Love. You know, can you imagine that? Isn't that cool? I mean, and so she turns it on. She goes, she's driving. She hadn't quite noticed. And she goes, what's this? She said, all of a sudden, something grabbed a hold of her, and she started crying. Started weeping. Told her husband about it. Says, you're nuts. You're going nuts. So she's telling me this in front of the hospital. And I go, Gia. I said, hey, do you want to receive Jesus? She goes, who? Jesus. Do you want? I'm a youth pastor, and I. Do you want to receive Jesus? And she goes, I don't know, Angel. And he's standing off to the side, and he's crying. He's weeping. I said, come here, man. What's going on, man? He goes, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I don't know. So I led both of them to the Lord. Okay, isn't that cool? But what's in a name? Because as they were leaving, they had some other stuff to do. I went in again, talked to my brother, and there was a lady by a bed that was right there, and she was crying. So I went over, and I said, are you okay? She goes, no. And I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. So I prayed for her. And when I prayed for her, that guy that had that hat backwards and the sunglasses, when I stopped praying, I stood up and he's got his face right there. I go, hey, what's up, man? He didn't say anything to me. Didn't say nothing to me. Just gave me this weird stare. I said, okay. But anyway, I had gone back outside. And Angel and his wife, her name was Allie, they were leaving. And they stopped. They go, hey, what's your name? We forgot to ask you. What's your name? And I said, there's only one name you need to remember. His name is Jesus. I said, find a church. You guys need to go to church, man. There's a place up there. I gave him the name of a church in Phoenix. And I don't know. After that, I got no idea what's going on. I know God's got a hold of them. I know God's taking care of them. All right. But I'm sitting at the... After they had talked to me, I'm standing outside, and this guy comes walking up to me, and he's going to do business. He's coming up to me with this, and he's got something in his hand, and when I looked down to see what it was actually his hat and his sunglasses, and he goes, do you work here? I go, no, I don't work here. He goes, well, you ought to. I've been watching you. I said, yeah, I know. I noticed that, man. Even my niece told me, hey, that guy's, he goes, that guy's just watching you, man. I said, yeah. He goes, I've been watching you. I said, yeah, I noticed that, man. He goes, you prayed for my wife. I said, I did, yeah. I said, that was your wife? He goes, yeah. He goes, I went back there to see her. She had been crying, and what had happened is she had had her toe removed and it had gotten infected on her and she was in a lot of pain. And he said, when I went back there, they had moved her from where you prayed for. She was in another room. So I went into the other room, and I asked the nurse, I mean, what did the doctor give her? You know, and she said, well, she hadn't seen a doctor yet. She goes, well, she's asleep. I said, yeah. She goes, yeah. She fell asleep when we brought her in here. So he's telling me, he goes, whatever you did for her, it really helped. I said, brother, let me ask you something. Yeah. You want to receive Jesus in your heart? No, man, no, no. It was quick. I go, oh, okay. I said, well, do me a favor. When you go home, you saw what happened. Did you see, did you hear those kids talking about how their kid got healed? Did you hear that? He goes, I did. I kind of caught some of that. I said, when you go home tonight, you've seen some things. Get by your bed and pray to God and tell him, God, if you're real, help me. Just say that. Okay, man, that's it. Put his hat on, his glasses, and walked away. Can I tell you something? What's the name? What's with the name? The name that we need to be talking about is Jesus. I got a lot of people telling me, man, you got to hear this guy, you got to hear that guy, you got to hear this guy. Yeah, that's cool, man. I love it, man. But my heart is to spend time with the Holy Ghost in my closet. That's what I want to do. Because I have found that I see things that I've never seen before. I hear things that I've never heard before. I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 25, if you will. Hallelujah. God is doing some great things. He's going to be using each and every one of you in ways you never thought of because of his desire in this city. Matthew chapter 25. And this was something that God gave me this morning, and I am still not real sure why he was speaking it to me, except for the fact that this message is that you need to be listening to God. You need to hear what he has for you. It really is. Well, everything I'm saying to you this morning, take it, take notes. But when you go home, say, God, is this what you're saying to me? I mean, don't believe me because, just like that old prophet, hey, you need to trust, place all of your trust on God. So man can, the Word of God says that man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you just don't know. So you need to try the spirits, test them, check them out. Check out what's going on. Take a look and look around. But Matthew chapter 25 says, the kingdom of God shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their lamp, in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for you, for us and you. But go rather to them that sell, buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say to you, I know you not. Verse 13 says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I brought this to you because I years ago when I was at First Assembly, I was the adult Sunday school teacher. And right after church, a gentleman approached me, and we had taught on the 10 virgins. And I see it the way I see it, and maybe you see it a little bit different, and that's okay. And I'm going to say something, but I see, he came up and spoke to me. He said this, that's not talking about the Holy Spirit. I said, are you kidding me? Are you what? Are you kidding? He says, no, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about something else. I said, okay. So what's it talking about? And he says, well, it's talking about, chapter 24 is talking about when Jesus comes back, about the tribulation and everything. He says it's talking about getting ready for Christ to come back. And he says what you would consider the oil is the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's actually storing up supplies to last through the tribulation. I go, ah, you're one that you believe that you're going to be in the tribulation. You're one of those. You're one of those guys. He goes, yeah. I said, and that's okay. That's fine. That's the way he believes. But it's what's crazy about this, when I was looking at it last night, the Lord kept saying to me something. And one of the things is, I think there's a lot of teaching out there that talks about that you need to be storing things up, that you need to be preparing yourself for that time. And I'm going to tell you something. When I look at these scriptures, I see I see that he's telling us to store up the things that God is giving to us. Begin to pull them in by listening to the Holy Spirit. I want to just show you a couple of things. Can I just say this to you? And I know this is kind of off a little bit, but I really believe that God is saying that. He goes, you really need to listen to what you're listening to. You really need to go to the Word of God and check it out, because there's some things. One of the things he said is that all the virgins are saved. I don't believe that. Because Jesus himself said that five were foolish and five were wise. That puts a whole different slant on it. I don't think I would tell you 10 of them were not saved. Five of them were saved. Five of them were foolish. The Word of God says that the carnal mind, the carnal man, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him. So if you don't receive the things of God, how can you get saved? You've got to receive him. The Word of God says in John chapter 1, he says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So if you can't receive, because you won't receive, you're kind of foolish. So I'm going to look at some scriptures about that. Here's a Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3 says this. The foolishness of man perverts his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. You see, foolishness in a person perverts the way. That's why it's so, you know, when it comes to the things of God, that's why it's so important that you listen, that you hear, that you build, that you strengthen yourself by the Word of God. Because foolishness, playing around, doing your own thing, it perverts your way. It's crazy. Here's another verse. It says this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13. Like this one. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king. I like this. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. So, you know, sometimes people get to a point where you can tell them something, they won't even though they know you're telling them the truth, they say, well, I don't care. They will no longer be admonished. So, foolishness. And I really like this scripture right here. Proverbs chapter 21:20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. You see that? But a foolish man spends it up. But there is oil in the dwelling of the wise. What are we talking about? In this, what we're looking at, the 10 virgins, we're talking about oil. We're talking about oil. And I will say to you, my heart is saying, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. He really is. He's not talking about storing up for tomorrow. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are storing up. I got some neighbors. They're great neighbors. They're beautiful neighbors. They're Mormon. And they've got a garage full of stuff. If something happens, what guarantee do they have that they're going to have that stuff? Some people are storing up. What guarantee do you have it's going to be there? What if you get pushed out of town because of, hey, well, we know you went down to that show, that Sarita House of Worship. We know who you are, so we don't want you in our town. You get pushed out of town, and your stuff stays in your garage. Come on, man. Why do you even worry about it? That's what I would like to say. Folks, I know this is weird. I know it's different, but I know that God is saying this to us. We need to know him. You need to build your relationship with him to the point that he tells you, go down there, take a loaf of bread, feed 500 people. Okay. Take a can of tuna. You're going to feed them all with that. Okay. Because that's the kind of God we serve. We know it. We've seen it in scripture. Why are you worried about it? Somebody in here, I hope, is hearing what I'm saying this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. Foolishness. So when he says they're all saved, I don't think so. I believe that five of them were not saved. So, being that they didn't get on what They wouldn't go after God. They wouldn't seek God. The wise were seeking after him and getting their oils, getting their vessels full of oil. It's cool, man. Going by. I mean, there's a part in it where his brother was telling me, he goes, man, well, it says in there, going by. You telling me you can buy the Holy Ghost? No, man. I said, man, yeah. I asked him what church he was from. And from his answer, I understand why he's thinking the way he's thinking. Because where the church that he was from do not believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit or the workings of the Holy Ghost. It's almost like the Holy Ghost is knocking on the door and they're saying, well, we'll let you in later, maybe. I don't know what it is. But when he said, are you going to go and buy the Holy Ghost? Come on, Henry. I said, man, I got an answer for you, but hold on. I got to find it. I got to know where it's at. I'm not sure. But the Word of God says, do you know you can buy stuff out of the Bible? You know that you can buy things? Do you know that there's a value to certain? You know there's gold in there? Do you know you can buy it? Do you know how you buy it? I'm going to show you how you buy it. Well, let me just check out this scripture. It's Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Can you buy truth? Brother, how do you buy truth? Anybody know how? How do you buy it? Tell me how you buy it. Come on, man. I want to buy it. I want to buy me some. How do you buy it? First thing you got to do is allow truth to come into your friends. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You allow him in. Guess what just happened? You just purchased truth. You just said, yeah, come on. There's a way to buy in the scriptures. And it's not the kind of bartering or the kind of exchange that we do. It's called believe. Believe. Just believe. Buy the truth. Don't sell it. Buy it. Hold on to it. Hallelujah. Look at this other scripture, Isaiah 55. I love this one. It says, ho! Did you wake everybody up? Ho! Every one of you that thirst, come to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Do you see where it says buy? Yea, come buy wine, milk without money, without price. That's a kind of weird kind of way to buy. No money, no price. This brother has also told me, hey, when the mark of the beast shows up, you're not going to be able to buy anything, brother. Don't you know that? Calm down. Yeah, okay. Okay. You're not going to be able to buy, sell, or trade. That's the Word of God. I say, you're right. It is the Word of God. But I believe that just as God took care of Elijah the prophet, fed him with ravens, fed him food, God will miraculously take care of those that are calling upon him during that time. Do you know that? How many believe that? I just believe that. Just who he is. He says, I will watch over you. I will take care of you. Through the waters, through the fire, I'm going to take care of you. That's his promise. Why do you worry? Jesus even said this. He goes, why do you, he says, take no thought for the things of what? Mañana. Don't worry about the things tomorrow. Those things will, they're evil in themselves. They'll take it. I will provide all your needs, is what he says. Then he says this, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Listen, this is how you're buying. Hearken diligently to me. Eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Isn't that good? How do you buy? This brother didn't know how to buy. I said, bro, just go to God, man. Ask him to give you what he wants to give you. I never saw the guy again after that. But he tried to make a point on things where I believe that he was not using the whole Word of God to explain a parable. Do you know that when Jesus told about that kingdom, it was a parable. And he says, this is how you're going to compare it to. It's kind of like these 10 virgins. But you got to use the whole Word of God to explain these things. You can't just say, well, can't buy. You got to use the full Word of God. And today, you've got to allow Him to lead you and guide you. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this. This is an invite. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life." Is that right? "For He made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Do you guys get this scripture? We get it, right? Jesus paid for our sins so that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Him. It's an exchange that seems unfair to Him, but yet He loved us so much that He brought it to us. Isn't that cool? And what He wants you to spend time with Him. You need to spend time with Him. How many of you got things going on in your life that, man, I don't know what to do? Anybody? I got no idea what to do. Anybody got pain? Man, you guys don't have anything going on. That's good. Praise God. Know this. That God wants you in His presence so that you can hear Him speak to your heart. It's the craziest thing. Because when He speaks to your heart through the Holy Spirit, He's going to strengthen you. He's going to build you. This is the last scripture right here. It says this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says this, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Is that right? What is grace? Divine flavor. Flavor? Did I say flavor? Divine favor. I've never heard it called that. But one of the translations is it is what? Divine influence on the heart. Divine influence on the heart. And it's reflection in the life. That's what grace is. You look it up, the word is charis, divine influence upon your heart and its reflection in your life. What is divine influence? What would you, who is divine influence? The Holy Spirit is divine influence. See, that's what this how this scripture becomes very evident, where it says, "For by grace you are saved." Is that right? It's because of divine influence. Because the Holy Spirit comes to you and begins to say, "Dude, man, what you just did was not right, man," or whatever. You know, what happens is He begins to talk to you, the Holy Spirit, divine influence. That's how you're saved. And it says here, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find that divine influence to help in times of need." If there's any a time of need, maybe it's not going on in your life right now, but I can tell you there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of folks that are around you that have a need. And there's only one that can really fill that need is Jesus. And He wants to use you. And so He says, "Come into My presence. Come into My presence. Find Me so I can speak to you. Hear what I'm saying to you." Oh, man, Isaiah. I'm going to ask you to put up Isaiah 55 verse 6. Is that right? Did I give you that? 6 and 7, "Seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Do you know how many people need to hear that verse? God will abundantly pardon you. Sir, ma'am, do you know that God loves you? Do you know He will abundantly pardon you? He will forgive you for everything and anything. Just ask Him to, and you watch what happens. Folks, that's what we are. We're called to touch the city. We're called to speak to people. We're called to be our brother's keeper. Watch over your neighborhood. Watch over your school. Watch over the town hall, the official. Pray for them. Jesus said, "Will you not watch with Me for 1 hour?" That word watch is the word pray. Prayer. We're in the 10 virgins, He says. I lost it. With the 10 virgins. He tells me right at the end, "Watch therefore." for you know not what hour the Lord's going to come. You better be watching. How many know what time is God coming? Is he coming today? Coming tomorrow? Coming next week? Coming next year? We've got no idea. The Word of God tells us that. You cannot pinpoint that date. Only the Father knows, is what Jesus said. So he says, why are you even worried about it? Don't even worry about it. But allow him to speak to you for today. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Will you guys stand up? Hallelujah. Praise God. Can I get you to stand? Hallelujah. I know it's been a little bit different. I know it's been something that's a little, but I know that God is saying something. Can I tell you, the internet is doing something. The internet does good, and also the internet at the same time does some damage. I mean, you know that. You can hear anything that you want. Anything in the scriptures, if you want to bend that way, if you want to bend them to fit your desires, I think you can go on the internet and just about find it. Find somebody that will tell you you're... I'll tell you something. Be careful. Let the Lord speak to you, but you got to go to him. Amen? Amen. Amen. You got to go to him. You got to be who he wants you to be. You got to allow him to fashion you and build you and strengthen you so that when you go out, people look at you and say, man, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. Hallelujah. Go over there, man. That guy looks like he can help you. I don't know what it is about him, but he looks like he's going to be able to help you. Just go over and see that guy. You know why? Because they will sense something. The world will know there's something about a man or a woman of God when they walk in the room. I can tell. Can you tell people that are saved? You ever seen somebody who walks in the room and say, that guy's saved, man. I know it. He's saved. I can tell a Jehovah's Witness when they come in the room. Just by the way they handle themselves. I don't know what it is. I guess it's just, the Bible calls it discernment. I say, I think that person's a Jehovah's Witness. Sure enough, go to talk to them. Hey. But when you walk in the room, are people sensing the Holy Ghost? Can I tell you, they will. If you're spending time in the presence of God, it's going to be all over you. You can't see it. They might see it, but then for the most part, most people can't see it. But I'll tell you what, they'll sense it. They'll know. There's something about that guy. Something about that lady right there. Something's different. And that's what I'm expecting. Each and every one of you to see God doing the things through you, through your lives in this city. It's cool. In wherever you're at, on airports, grocery stores, the anointing of God upon his people to touch the world today like it's never been touched. Ooh, man, I'm telling you. You guys are looking at me kind of, oh man, I'm tired. But I'm going to tell you something. God is doing something. He's working. So let's pray. Father, Father, have your way. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. God, I'm asking you, Father God, this week, Father, let things be different for each and every person that's here, that's listening. Let things be different. Let them find themselves in a place where you're speaking to them about the need of somebody else. Let them sense being led by your Spirit in a way that is so different, yes, that they recognize it. And as they step into it, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done, Father, in earth as it is in heaven. Let this earth begin to see the glory of God in every area of life. In Jesus' name I pray, touch your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, use them this week. Father, we all want to be used by you. We all want to do something that is extraordinary for your kingdom and for your glory, Lord. Let your people do those extraordinary things, Father God, because they have spent time with you, time with you, time with you, Father. I thank you for it. I praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hug somebody. Give them a high five. And don't forget, we've got food and you guys.